Last Thursday, Finance Minister Dr. Peter Phillips tabled the 2015-2016 estimates of expenditure in the House of Representatives. The estimates revealed the government's plans to spend $641.56 billion for the fiscal year, with $432.57 billion earmarked for recurrent or housekeeping expenses and $208.98 billion for capital or development spending. Chief Economist in the Ministry of Finance and Planning, Everton McFarlane, recently sat down with Ian Boyne to discuss the new budget cycle and some of its benefits. We now bring you excerpts of that interview.
Let me start by just recapping briefly what the cycle is.
Yes.
The budget cycle is, or the timetable for the budget, is a framework which establishes the main activities that have to be undertaken in the process of budget preparation and approval. Mm-hmm. There are several steps. We can think of the budget preparation process as actually starting with a mid-year review of the budget for a particular year. And that mid-year review is contained in a document that's called a fiscal policy paper. Then simultaneous with the preparation of the
mid-year review,
of the mid-year review, a budget call is issued. The budget call is a statement of the expenditure ceiling that the government intends to operate under for the next year. And it provides specific limits and ceilings for each ministry, department, and agency.
So this year is the first year. Yes. That both the estimates of expenditure and the revenue, estimates of revenue,
will be tabled simultaneously.
And what's the significance of that?
The significance of the new budget cycle is not just in terms of the tabling of the expenditure and revenue estimates together. It starts from the entire sequence of activities in terms of how the budget is prepared. The fact that there is a lot more opportunity for decisions to be taken regarding shaping the activities of ministries, departments, and agencies in line with government priorities in a much more structured way, or certainly deepens that process than what existed before. At the end of the process, when the estimates of revenue and expenditure are tabled, there is more information that's available regarding how your money will be spent, but also what are the sources, you know, how will that be financed.
And what the revenue expenditure reveals is that the levels of expenditure for the social sector generally, and in particular health, have been increased, and that the capital side is also strong. So we have simultaneously the capital side being strong while the social sector is also strong. Usually it's one or the other.
What you have, as you examine the budget, and I would encourage our readers to do so, is to look at that shift. What you will see is a shift in the proportion of interest payments as a ratio to the GDP. Mm-hmm. You will see also a decline in the share of wages and salaries as a share of GDP.
Yes.
But correspondingly, the space that is freed up, what you'll also see is an increase in the share of programs, and programs indirectly impact the quality of public service delivery. These are the expenditures that go to ensure that your hospitals have the drugs that they need, that the education system gets the kind of resources and finance outside of just being teachers. And so when you look at the budget, what you will see is an effort to ensure that the quality of the fiscal adjustment is as supportive of growth as is permitted within the general constraints of the debt. So we are paying relatively less for debt servicing and try to allocate relatively more towards those areas that are...
So the persistent calls that we have heard from civil society and from the business sector for a growth strategy and for more attention to growth, you think has begun to be addressed by this budget?
Well, actually, it has begun to be addressed before this budget.
But it's particularly pronounced in this budget.
Well,
Can you see the shifts clearly?
I want to emphasize it now because we're at a point in the program, I think, where, you know, we have passed six successive quarterly reviews under the extended fund facility agreement with the IMF program.
On to your seventh.
And perhaps there may be a sense of, you know, well, why are we doing this? And the fact that, you know, we have passed so many tests, but it's not affecting people's lives. And so it's an opportune time just to reflect on the fact that the adjustment that has occurred, as modest as it has been given the resource constraints, has been to actually shift resources away from debt servicing and towards social sector and capital spending.
And this budget demonstrates that.
And this budget, I hope people will analyze it from that perspective.
Chief Economist in the Ministry of Finance and Planning, Everton McFarlane, speaking in an interview with Ian Boyne.
This has been a production of the Jamaica Information Service.